Good morning. If you'll turn in your Bible, the Pew Bible there, to page 129 in the New Testament, you'll find Acts 17, and we'll be reading 22 through 31. Now, if you're using a large print Bible, such as I am, that's on page 132. I just said that wrong because I was in John when I opened my book. So it's on 168 in the new large print Bible. And then Paul stood in front of the
Areopagus
and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with an inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of the heavens and earth, does not live in the shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, although indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own prophets have said. For we too are his offsprings. Since we're God's offsprings, we ought not to think that a deity like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll join me in reading the responsive reading, which is Psalm 66. It's page 790 in the New Testament, in the back of your hymnals. "Bless our God, O people. Let the sound of God's praise be heard. He who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You've brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our loins. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us forth to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, of which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all of you who worship God, and I will tell what God has done for me. I cried aloud to God, who was highly praised with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly the God has listened and has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor removed his steadfast love from me."
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. It can be found on page 220 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 284 in the large print edition. "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I was singing the praises of the Gospel of Matthew. We're still in the Gospel of John, equally wonderful. Let's turn now to the Gospel of John according to Jesus Christ. It is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21 in the Pew Bible on page 103 of the New Testament and in the large print edition on page 133. As you're finding that in your Bible, it may ask you to stand as you are able that we might hear the Word of God. Today, that's not just idle description. This is actually Jesus speaking to the apostles on the occasion of the Last Supper. Hear these words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As I said, and as you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, when we in the United States remember the men and women who have died while serving in our military. Now, obviously, we have many veterans and veteran spouses and families here among us in our congregation, so I'm sure that Memorial Day is a day of memories and meaning and reflection for all of us. In light of that, I want you to consider the feelings surrounding this gospel passage. Jesus is trying to prepare his closest followers for the time when he would no longer be with them in person. Clearly, each of you today have experienced the loss of someone you love very dearly. Someone whose passing left a wound that may have healed, but for whom you still grieve. If you're like me, you miss that person greatly. Can you still feel that absence? Take a moment to remember and to feel. Jesus understood these feelings in the people who loved him most completely here on earth. Jesus fully understands how you feel right now. Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples and all of us who would come after them for the time when he had left the earth and would then send us out to continue his kingdom work. Think back to the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, to the part that we know as the Great Commission. Go, therefore, Jesus said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age. This gentle announcement and preparation for his departure is the context for today's reading from John, when Jesus speaks to his followers at the Last Supper and promises that the Holy Spirit is coming. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. A little bit further in the passage where we didn't read today, Jesus continues in the same vein. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. These words may be familiar because we pray them, we hear them at many funerals. Jesus is concerned for his followers, and so he promises the Holy Spirit to help them and us. The Bible uses the word advocate for the Holy Spirit. This comes from the Greek word paraclete, which means a comforter or one who is called in to help. The biblical language also means helper or counselor, as in legal counsel for the defense. Well, many of you are probably like me, and we are visual learners, meaning that we learn best from seeing words and images. So I want you to take a look at your bulletin. The Bible portrays God's Holy Spirit in many ways. As a dove, like the cover of your bulletin, or as tongues of fire, or an onrushing wind, as at Pentecost, which is in a couple weeks. The image on the back cover of your bulletin reminds us that the Holy Spirit produces many kinds of fruit when it comes upon someone. Fruit including fear of God and piety, knowledge, fortitude, counsel, understanding, and wisdom, to name but a few. Well, regardless of how you see the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises us that as baptized believers, as true followers of Christ, we will be given the gift of God's Holy Spirit, just as Jesus' immediate followers were given the Spirit at Pentecost, once Christ had been glorified and returned to his rightful place at the right hand of God Almighty. To receive the Holy Spirit, you need to be a self-admitted and convicted sinner. To repent of your sins, to affirm your need of God's saving love for eternal life, and to be baptized. The Holy Spirit brings God's peace and the reminder of God's abiding love. The Holy Spirit brings the teachings of Christ and reminds us of God's commandments. This same Holy Spirit is what enabled Paul to go to Athens, to understand a good bit about the very different worldview of the Athenians, and to show them the way that their own pantheon of gods actually pointed directly to the work of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Paul found himself in a world of people who were lost among the idols of their time, people who sought meaning and purpose in the trappings of the secular world, people who hadn't heard about the offer of salvation from Jesus. Paul found himself in a world very much like the world in which we find ourselves here and now in the 21st century. Peter offered some terrific advice to followers of Jesus in the first century, advice that you and I ought to heed as we think about the world of unbelievers surrounding us today. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anybody who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Many Christian people hear the Great Commission, that command from Jesus, and wonder how it pertains to them. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Well, those folks point out, I can't baptize anyone. That's the pastor's job. And yes, you're right about that. But be very clear about this truth. Jesus calls each of us to testify about the power of Christ and how your life is flooded by God's love and transformed. This is exactly what Peter was talking about. In your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. You should always be ready to explain the hope that you feel because of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You should be willing and ready to testify with gentleness and reverence. In closing, my sisters and brothers, listen again with open hearts to the words that Jesus is speaking to you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you, with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.